DerekDaniels.com for details.
Call Derek now, 410-467-WBAL.
We are back, and he is here. Joining me in studio is the Attorney General of the state of Maryland. Doug Gansler is running for the nomination for a Democrat for governor of the state of Maryland. Welcome, Mr. Attorney General.
It's great to be here.
Glad to have you in. If you have a call, a question for him, 410-467-WBAL or 1-800-767-WBAL. Before we get to anything else, I want to ask you about this, because this just broke today on MarylandReporter.com. You criticized the current governor, his budget, talking about unconstitutional provisions in the budget that he signed. What were you talking about?
I never did that, so I don't know.
No? It's the budget bill signed by O'Malley contains unconstitutional provisions, Gansler says. A key budget balancing bill signed by Martin O'Malley last Thursday contains several unconstitutional provisions, including language exempting Carroll and Frederick counties from aspects of the rain tax.
Huh. Must have been someone in my office that reviews. Well, I mean, one of the things we do is we review every piece of legislation that is passed for constitutionality.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps someone in the, you know, the people that represent the legislature must have opined on that. I didn't say anything about it.
Well, we cleared out all the breaks. We've got you all the way up till traffic, and we can even push Detour.
And we have the number. We have the worst traffic congestion in the country under these guys. Just so you know.
Even worse than L.A.?
Well, it was number one, and then L.A. was number one, and then I think the last time we were number one. Let's just put us in the top two.
Yeah. Let's just make it awful.
Exactly.
I just say that. Let's get some calls in here. Let's go 410-467-WBAL. Megan on a cell line one. You're up first with the Attorney General. Megan.
Yes. Thank you for taking my question. Mm-hmm. I actually wanted to ask about the corporate tax cut proposal. I agree with it. I think we're going to have to do something to compete with Virginia, but 8 years seems like a really long time to phase it in. Do you think that Maryland businesses can wait that long?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, just in case people are smart enough not to pay attention, our corporate tax rate is 8.25. Virginia's is 6. West Virginia's 6.5. Pennsylvania's low. And what's happening is, you know, our companies are bleeding. We're losing all our companies. We only have 4 Fortune 500 companies left. We've lost over 7,000 small businesses in the last 8 years with O'Malley and Brown there. 76% of people are unemployed, more than they were 8 years ago. And so the jobs are leaving. So one of the reasons why that is because our tax structure is not competitive. They've raised 40 to 50 consecutive taxes on the personal side, and then as well as our corporate tax being so much higher than our neighboring state. So our proposal was to get to where Virginia's was at 6%, but to make sure that we're bringing money in at the same time. So instead of doing it, you know, next week, we were going to phase it in a quarter point each year to make sure that businesses are, in fact, now coming back into Maryland. And the reason why you want businesses here is because they have jobs, and we need to employ more people. In Baltimore City, for example, 46% of the adults don't have work. And that's clearly unsustainable from an economic standpoint. So, yeah, I think your question's a good one. Can we wait that long? The answer is no. We actually need to elect a governor on June 24th that wants to bring jobs back to Maryland, supports the middle class. But you have to also be responsible about it so that we don't continue to have the deficits that these guys are running year in.
Megan, I appreciate the call. And Mr. Attorney General, you misspoke. The election for nomination is on June 24th, even though it seems like that's the general. It's not quite. There is still a Republican that will be.
There is a Republican. You know, for better or for worse, we're one party state, and the Democrat typically does win. And that's what we're trying to make sure people understand, how important this election is. Do you want 8 more years of O'Malley Brown with the taxes and all our businesses leaving the state? Or do you want somebody who's been in public service for the last 22 years seeing problems, working relentlessly to get them fixed and solving those problems and bringing businesses
back?
Our
time here is limited, but I'm going to ask you a point of privilege as host. This right here in my hand. It's a vaporizer.
Oh.
It has gotten me off of 2 packs a day of cigarettes, yet the state wants to treat these the same thing as cigarettes. It's akin to telling a heroin addict, you can have your methadone, but you can only do it in a heroin den. They want people to go outside and smoke and inhale this water vapor next to people who are smoking. Where do you stand on the until we know more, the regulations of government intruding on these?
Yeah, things? No, it's, and I actually, I was the head of all the attorneys general in the country, the 50 of us, National Association of Attorneys General. And, you know, we sort of got on the map through the tobacco case in the late 90s, the master settlement agreement, which does not include your vapor cigarettes, your e-cigarettes. And so I actually just wrote a letter last week to the 10 big manufacturers about that, in terms of having more transparency, having people understand what they are and what they are not. You are the success story, in the sense that you went from somebody who smokes regular cigarettes to e-cigarettes, because you're still addicted to nicotine,
right?
But you no longer
get
the tar. You're not getting the tar, and you're less likely to get lung cancer. The flip side of that is the person who's not smoking anything at all and is attracted to the e-cigarettes and now begins to smoke. Now they're addicted to nicotine, they're more likely to become a regular smoker. So we just want to make sure.
Still, is that not, they could just as easily smoke a cigarette? I'm just saying this is a way to get off. This is a step.
It's a way to get
off,
but it's also a way to get on. And so what all we're saying is, let's make sure that the producers of these are telling people what they are and what they are not, and that there is a danger of being addicted. The other problem is, you saw the little replacement capsules. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that people understand that those have poisoned them for little children.
Right.
So between 0 and 5, you don't want to leave them on the kitchen table.
Right, but you don't want to chew them. Just the same thing you don't do with
a cigarette. But little kids do, and so people have to understand that. We want to have warnings to make sure people recognize that or educate
them. These are the type of people who would throw thumbtacks all over their lawn mixed in with their Legos. They're not very bright. Begin with. Let's get back to the calls, because they are lined up. Steve on a cell, line 3, here up. What's your question?
Hey, Doug, you've got a commercial out saying you've got 40, about O'Malley's 40 tax cuts and how you're going to cut taxes at all. Yet that same commercial, you talk about all kinds of new spending. The first part of the commercial talked about tax cuts and O'Malley's taxes, but there's 5 or 6 new things you're going to do. How do you cut taxes and do the 5 or 6 new things you're talking about in the end of the ad?
All right.
No, it's a fair question. And you know, they've had 40 to 50 new taxes in a row, and you pick your tax, the rain tax, the gas tax, whatever it might be. And there was a recent poll by Gallup, I guess a week or two ago, saying 47% of people in Maryland would like to leave the state if they could, the major reason being the tax burden. And we just can't. Brown, along with O'Malley, would suggest for the next 8 years we should balance the budget of our economic viability on the backs of more taxes and more casino gambling. My proposal is to bring jobs in, increase the tax base, and therefore you can actually spend more on some of the subjects we have. Like for example, we have the second worst minority achievement gap in our school system in the country we need to spend money on. So I think we need to do is have a comprehensive review of our tax structure on the personal side and the corporate side, make sure we're competitive with our neighboring states. But at the same time, we have a proposal out that would save $1.5 billion in terms of savings for the state of Maryland, which would allow us to do some of the things we need to do that you saw in the commercial. The biggest nut, of course, is the procurement process. The procurement process, which, I mean, the best example that people are aware of is the Affordable Care Act that Brown did, where with all the cyber companies we have in Maryland, without any competition, without any transparency, they picked a company from Fargo, North Dakota, to do the rollout, to do the website, which of course didn't work so well. And so the procurement process itself could save hundreds of millions of dollars by being competitive and transparent. But we also have the proposal, and it's available on the website at DougGansler.com.
Let's go back. Your questions for Attorney General Doug Gansler. Al on a cell. You're up, Al.
Good afternoon. How you doing, gentlemen?
Good. Yeah.
Doug, I just want to talk about the Second Amendment rights in the state of Maryland. It's proven that states that liberalize the carry laws, crime goes down. I want to know why, if you are against it, why are you against making it easier for the average citizen who doesn't have a record, who takes proper training, to get a permit from the state police to carry a firearm? If you are against it, I just want to know why.
Okay, so just to be clear on the Second Amendment component of it, for 200, as you know, since it sounds like you follow this kind of thing, for about 200 and some odd years, the Second Amendment was interpreted to be a collective right having to do with the militia and the right to bear arms collectively. In the Heller case 9 or 10 years ago, a case out of D.C. actually, the Supreme Court changed that for the first time in a 4-3 decision and said, well, now the Second Amendment is going to be an individual right. But it limited that right to 3 circumstances. That is, somebody has the constitutional right to have a handgun in their home to be used for self-defense. Those are the 3 criteria right now that defines the Second Amendment as interpreted by the Supreme Court. So the ability to carry guns around on the streets is not a Second Amendment right. It's a policy decision. The policy decision in Maryland was made by the legislature that said, we don't want people to carry guns around on the streets unless they have a very good reason to do so. They
well, only the criminals can walk around with guns in the state of Maryland.
Right, and they shouldn't be able to do
I'm
so.
I'm a correctional officer, Doug. I've been one for 16-plus years. Criminals do not care about laws. They still get firearms. And I say again,
you're right.
Why shouldn't the average citizen in Maryland be able to protect themselves?
Right. Well, the law is that they have to get a permit to carry it. And look, from a correctional standpoint, I totally agree with you. Obviously, the way they ran these guys managed the Baltimore City jails put you in jeopardy and people like you in jeopardy.
Are you interested? Well, are you in favor of a shall issue? Change to rather than a may issue?
No, but I am in favor of a mandatory minimum to Al's point for that we have on the federal side. Convicted felons in possession of a firearm should get a 5-year mandatory minimum. You don't want felons with guns.
I appreciate the call.
If you don't want felons with guns, people with domestic violence issues with guns or mental health issues.
All right,
those people are the ones you don't want to have guns.
Let's go. People got a lot of questions for you. We got to get you in for more than a half an hour. Rick on a cell. What's up, Rick?
I want to follow up on the corporate people leaving the state. I'm
yep.
part of 47% of the people who would like to leave the state and leaving the state because the cash flow improvement of me moving from Montgomery County to Delaware is $1,000 a month.
Wow.
Could you tell me what you might do to prevent me from going the next time I decide?
Appreciate it, Rick.
Well, Rick, so many people, unfortunately, like you, have left, and a lot of people, so many businesses have left, and it's horrible. I mean, we're bleeding, and we're getting our clocks clean, particularly where you're coming from, Montgomery County. We're particularly getting crushed by Northern Virginia. And so, and the corporate tax is one reason. Look, if you're the rich guy, you have a company in Indianapolis, you're looking to come to the D.C., Baltimore metropolitan area, and one state is going to charge you 6%. And the other charge is going to charge you 8.25% in income in corporate tax. You're going to pick the 6% every time, and because 6%, and my view is 6% of something is a lot more than 8.25% of nothing. And that's where we are in the state of Maryland. And we just are, and these guys don't recognize that. They literally, Brown and O'Malley will walk around and say, "Hey, everything's great economically," notwithstanding the fact that people have left, want to leave, or are going to leave, and so they show up in Annapolis every year for the General Assembly. And they have $500 million to $1 billion deficit, where right across the river in Virginia, and to your point, in Delaware and other states, they have $1 billion rainy day funds, extra money, because they promote jobs. And we're killing our middle class, and the state, and we need a governor that supports the middle class and wants to keep people here to grow our tax base. And that's that. And I think that's essential. So we need to do that.
On the issue of the middle class, North Dakota is booming because they are drilling. Where would Governor Gansler be on fracking, be on oil exploration, on the energy that we currently have? You can dream like the governor is about what we can do in the future, but yeah. Unless we're putting sails on our cars, we have to live in the world that is.
Well, they're putting windmills in the ocean.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think, look, and we haven't seen a windmill in the ocean yet. And so the reality is we need to work on alternative energy. I've been proposing, I'm very big, strong in the environment. It's my biggest issue. And so I've been proposing converting chicken manure to energy for years. And we're finally getting an RFP out for that. When I'm governor, we're going to really expand that. We'll take $500 million of chicken manure. And the reason why that matters is because that's our biggest environmental organic environmental pollution.
It's a joke I can't make.
Yeah. Not only because you're on the air and you got the FCC
right.
and all those problems. But we do need to convert chicken manure into energy. We need to focus, obviously, on solar energy. If the sun doesn't come up one day, we're all in trouble. But in terms of hydraulic fracking, look, I can't imagine anybody's actually against it if it were safe and clean.
Mm-hmm.
I went after a company called Chesapeake Energy, which was doing hydraulic fracturing just north of our border in Pennsylvania, and two of their wells blew up, and the benzene and all that got into the water supply. If and when we get to a position where it's actually safe, we want it. It's here. It's cheap. It reduces our dependency on foreign oil, but most importantly, it reduces our dependency on coal, which, we have 14 of the 50
jobs.
Yeah, it's jobs, but, that's less important in this particular context, only in the sense that we're talking about Western Maryland, and we can't guarantee the jobs are necessarily going to come from Maryland, though we would like that to be the case. It's really the environment and energy sources that we need to concentrate on, but we can't do it if it's going to compromise our water supply.
Let's get Bill on a cell. Bill, you're up. What's your question?
If you were governor, would you propose raising the Maryland state income tax exemption from $3,500 to $20,000 and reducing or stopping the minimum wage increase?
Appreciate the call.
I'm actually for the minimum wage increase. I think it's been shown, first of all, when you're making $7.25 an hour and you're working 40 hours a week and you're still below the federal poverty line, to me, that's not fair. And so I'm for the $10.10 minimum wage. I was the first person, in fact, running for state office. The other two have joined in. I think that's the right thing to do. And everywhere they've raised the minimum wage to a reasonable amount like that, it's actually been shown to support and help business because there's less turnover and more worker loyalty. But that was the same day I talked about the corporate tax, reducing that so we can have more jobs available, so we can have people that are working to pay them the minimum wage. Because you can have any minimum wage you want, but if we're in the situation we're in Maryland right now where there's no jobs, then it doesn't really matter what that number is. In terms of the income tax, I think we have to look at our entire structure right now, because there's a reason why, Rick Perry picks Maryland. It's as embarrassing as it was for him to pick Maryland of all the other 49 states to come to talk about taxes. There's a reason why so many companies and so many people are leaving the state, and with them goes their philanthropy and their jobs. So we do need to become competitive in terms of our income tax and our corporate tax structure.
I'm going to get these last two calls in before we run out of time. Al and Asel, be quick. What's your question?
Hey, Doug. My family and I work for a large multinational corporation. We just moved to the state of Maryland over the last 2 years. We are looking to get out because your state is indicative of what's going on in the rest of the United States. Why should we stay here? It is crazy here.
Appreciate it.
Well, because there's going to be a new governor named Doug Gansler with his lieutenant governor, Jolene Ivey, coming in January. And that's our biggest issue, strengthening the middle class, making sure that people can stay here and want to stay here. Look, I'm the only candidate in the Democratic field that grew up in Maryland. I love this state. I was a season ticket holder of the Orioles, a partial season ticket holder before the other two ever stepped foot in Maryland. I understand the potential and the wonder of this state, and I hate seeing what's going on right now. The animosity in terms of taxes and business that have been brought on by Anthony Brown and O'Malley just is unsustainable, and we actually need to make a change, and people have that opportunity in June.
Mac, we're not going to have time to get to you, because I want to ask one time. You addressed the environmental policies there, but I want to ask you, you've got one more debate coming up. The lieutenant governor.
We have two, actually.
Well, the lieutenant governor is not coming to Baltimore. He's not interested, seemingly. I want you to, you have the biggest microphone on radio in Maryland right now. Talk about why people should vote for you and why, whether or not you think it's important that the lieutenant governor participate in the only debate in the city.
Well, I'll start with the second piece, which is the arrogance and disdain for the people of Maryland, and particularly the people of Baltimore, for him not to come to the debate that they agreed on that's in writing, just makes no sense. I mean, I think it's part of this a whole notion that Governor O'Malley gets to coronate and tell the people of Maryland who the next governor is going to be, and then all the special interests get behind him. And say, if you look at his campaign report, it's completely replete with special interest money. I think that's the contrast versus me, who actually works in Baltimore and from Maryland and been for the last 22 years looking at problems, things that are unfair, unjust, working relentlessly to get them solved and actually getting things done. The only thing that Anthony Brown's ever been in charge of or managed or led was the Affordable Care Act rollout, which was a national embarrassment and cost taxpayers $200 million. And then, of course, they're chasing bad money after good by bringing the Connecticut system on instead of going to the federal government. And so I think the contrast is quite stark. And so, I think it's a pivotal election. We've talked on this little time here about the job situation. I think that is the thing substantive biggest issue and the biggest difference between us is that I want to bring jobs back to Maryland. I want to support the economy here. I want to bring back the middle class, and they clearly don't.
Attorney General Doug Gansler, as you can tell, there's a hunger for it. We couldn't get to all the questions that we had.
Well, let's do it again.
Love to have you back when you have the time, and good luck.